Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Guys, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. We're not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor or some goopy Gwyneth-y crystals and jade eggs up your you-know-what type stuff. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume, and they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong, so instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative, award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. Cho, tell them what you think about it.
Dude, I was blown away the first time I tried it. It was a lot more flavorful than I thought it would be. It was super fresh. I was just like, oh my God, like, oh, this is orange, so this will taste like orange. And I was like, I've been lied to by candy companies before, but by God, it tasted like orange. It was amazing. It made breathing a luxury. Then when I put it down, I was like, what is this? And it was just regular oxygen. And I realized that, like, regular oxygen ain't it. Mm-hmm. Hitting the Fume, that's what's going on. It's also mm-hmm. super well weighted. It's perfectly balanced. It's great to fidget with. And then I get to suck a little luxurious orange flavored oxygen with it. It's beautiful. The real wood and the shape. It looks like the steering wheel from a rapper's video. You know what I mean? Stopping is something that we all put off because it's hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com and use code POA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com and use code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today. Head to tryfume.com/POA and use code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today. Suck that luxurious air, baby. Yeah.
What's up, Airheads? We're back. We're in the virtual Airstream studios. I'm back in a more familiar setting, as it were, although I'm a little worried about it. I've been telling y'all for weeks I moved my stuff into the adjacent room so I could leave my air conditioner on because it's been hotter than the devil's nutsack out here, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to have to turn the air off to record. But then I started, the lighting over there was pissing me off. It like the sun kept shining through, hit me right in the face, stuff like that. I was having to like scoot around and whatnot. So I came back over here.
Angelic.
Yeah, well, people told me I looked like a ghost or a corpse.
What is an angel if not a ghost?
I guess that's true. Yeah, I didn't get a heavenly vibe from most of the feedback from people, though. They were like, you just look dead. Why are you so white? You live in California. Anyway, so I moved back over here, which means I'm in the room with the air conditioner on it, but I had to have it turned off because the mic will pick it up. And it is still hot as fuck out here. So I'm worried I'm going to be sweating by the time we're done, but we'll see how it goes. You're beating the heat with, what is that, a Twisted Tea? Is that what that is?
Yeah, they're not sponsoring us, but bro, hey, free plug to Twisted Tea.
Nice. I'm about to say, that takes me back, dude. That takes me back to fucking Tennessee Tech University shit right there. Twisted dude. Teas. When those came yeah. out, I remember those were all the rage when they came out. Cause that was like, that was like 2008-ish or something, at least when yeah. we got them in Cookeville, because I was like senior year of college. People were like, you gotta try this shit. Everybody get golfing, drinking Twisted Teas, yes, just getting sir. Hammered.
Let me tell you, they are back hardcore. Like, there's actually been like This was like, you know, the OG alcoholic tea. And then since then, all the seltzer companies have, like, every single one of them has a tea. Now there's a couple brands that, like, they purely do the tea, and they've been getting really popular. And so I've seen Twisted Tea has put out more packs. They have a Twisted Tea that's firecracker popsicle flavored. Fire. So the thing about these is that, bro, they are too easy to swallow. You know what I mean? Once I moved from the non-carbonated ones, I'm like, oh God, you really need to be careful, because, like, you might have a problem. Because at least with the carbonated ones, like, you can't. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
These, dude, like, I could drink a whole gallon sitting here.
I remember before any of the, like, Twisted Tea was the first that I recall. Also, before it ever came out, there was a different thing that came out first in Middle Tennessee, at least, and became all the rage even before Lico. Twisted Tea. No, it was, I'm talking about in the realm of tea. There was a vodka, I think, called Firefly Vodka.
Yes.
It was a sweet tea flavored vodka.
It was Firefly.
That came out and became huge, like, overnight, at least in the South, or where I was at, because, you know, it's tea. So, like, you just, like, mix it with lemonade and make, like, an alcoholic Arnold Palmer or whatever. And it was the same way. It's like, you could just, it was, as soon as you tried it, you're like, this shit is dangerous, because this just tastes like an Arnold Palmer, but I know it's got liquor in it. And it also, that one, this old boy dumbass we all lived in the same apartment complex and partied together in college. This one guy was like, another friend of ours who lived there but didn't go to college, he worked at Budweiser.
Nice. And, I've got and a buddy that did that.
This guy came in. Yeah, it ruled for us, because he could bring home, like, cases of dented cans and stuff like that all the time, like, for free. It was fucking rad. But so the other guy, the old boy, comes in and says to the dude that works at Budweiser, he's like, hey, you need to tell your bosses they're going to have some trouble out of that Bud Light Lime. It's too smooth. I always thought that should be like a commercial for Bud Light Lime, except he meant it 100%. It's too smooth. Dude. He'd been like out golfing all day, getting hammered on it or whatever.
He's 100% right, because I feel like there's beers that are, I mean, these are more summery. They're better for outdoors. Like, I love a cold beer, a cold regular beer. Do not get me wrong. But when you're golfing and it's super hot, what ends up happening is, unless you kill that beer in two swallers, when you walk back to your cart after hitting your approach shot, it's going to have gotten a little bit warm. And warm beer is intolerable. But fucking a slightly warm tea is like, that's okay. Plus, you can put it down quicker. You know what I'm saying? But and that Firefly shit, if I'm not mistaken, that predated Fireball and the Screwball. Yeah. Like, it was the first of the it was the first of the pussy whiskeys that men would just pretend like they didn't drink, but, like, in secret were like, this is my shit, right?
Before that stuff even came out, Crawdaddy's, where I didn't work at the time, I went there all the time, I ended up working there. Crawdaddy's had a, on, like, Thursday nights, like, that late night bar special on Thursday nights was $1 ice picks. Do you know what ice picks are?
Yeah, sweet tea and vodka.
Sweet tea and vodka, right? So, like, before Firefly became a thing, I don't know, I had just a whole dalliance with getting drunk off sweet tea in my college years, because it started with that dollar ice picks, fucking sweet tea with vodka in them, which, you know, that's trouble. And then Firefly became a thing, and then Twisted Teas, and it's just, you know, gone on from there.
That's one of those things that I think me and you have been guilty of this before, but, you know, when you think you invented something, but it's not, but it's already been a thing.
I invented
the ice pick when I was like 14 years old, because I got a hold of some vodka and all we had at the house was sweet tea, and I, you know, put it together and I was like, this is fucking fire. How does nobody know about this? Well, turns out, you know, everybody did. But
the dumbest one that I've done, I think, and it's directly related to the theme of the show too, because it has to do with me being trash and not knowing anything about fancy people, me and Katie were together, like, married, maybe. We definitely lived together. So, like, my point is, I could not have been any younger than, like, 27 or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, at the youngest, I was 27. I might have been older than that. I got out of the shower once, and she had just dried a load of towels. So, I grabbed this towel, and it was warm, you know, which always hits like a motherfucker.
So hard.
And I was like, Katie, you know what should be a thing? was like, we should fucking invent this or something. I was like, we need like a some kind of like little device that like just keeps towels warm, right? Because warm towels hit. And she was like, you don't know that they have warm towels? It's like, you've never been to a place where they had warm towels. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, fucking spas, salons, you know, it's like airplane, first class, whatever. It's like warm towels are definitely a thing. And so that crushed my dreams pretty quickly. Another one, I was high once and got what I thought was a $1 billion idea.
Is this the one that I was with you for?
No, me and you, we created like breakfast burritos or something. Yeah, right. Breakfast burritos. Yeah, came up with the idea. It was like, you know what they should do is like just take all the hidden breakfast stuff and like wrap it up, you know, so you can hold it and eat it. Like, dude, that'd be fucking sweet, man. We should do that. We should get like a truck or something to do that. Drew's just like, that's just a breakfast burrito, you fucking dipshit. Like, yeah, you're right. But the other one, and I still kind of don't understand why this isn't a $1 billion thing, but like I went and Googled it and found out it's already been patented. It already exists, but I'm still a little bit perplexed at why I never heard of it. Cause I was high one night and I had this idea, and dude, literally like you know, in my head, an actual light bulb, like appeared over me or whatever. Tale as old as time, you know, you leave the seat up or whatever, right? That don't hit right as a man. It's fine for us. It don't hit for them. They get pissed off when they leave the seat up, you know, cause we raise it to piss or whatever. So I thought,
be pissed.
Why not have like a little lever action device that works like those trash cans that you step on them and they pop up and you throw the trash in and you take your foot off and it goes back down.
Yep.
That, but with the toilet seat, you walk in, you just put your foot down, the lid pops up, you piss, you walk away, take your foot off, it goes back down. You don't have to even think about it. Right.
It
fucking
is
marriage saver, right?
Yep.
I was like, I gotta get on this. I'm about, you know, fuck, I see those commercials with that, the caveman, you know, the caveman with the wheel. It's like, do you need help with an invention? Call 1-800-INVENT-HELP. Or, you know what I'm talking about? I was like, I gotta call them motherfuckers. I gotta get on this now, you know?
Who has ever actually had a really good invention and went through that?
No, that's definitely a scam, bro. It's got to be.
They just
got to be
for you, and then they take like half the money or some shit.
Absolutely. And it's one of those deals where it's like, that's the same thing that those commercials come on at the same time as the commercials for like the stick of candle wax you just shove on your forehead when you got a headache or whatever. You know, that stuff. Like, head on, apply directly to forehead, head on. And it's like,
I remember head on.
It's literally just beeswax or whatever. You just rub it on your stupid fucking face. Anyway, so it's got to be bullshit. But
dude, I'm glad that you
Googled it, and it's like, it's somebody invented that already. And I feel bad for whoever that guy is, because like, I thought that was a surefire can't miss hit, you know, but. Right. Apparently, it just never took off. I don't know.
Dude, I'm glad that you brought that up, because maybe a possible thing to talk about on this show is like the QVC world, because you've got head on and you've got the inventor thing, like all those. But then you also had like Joan Rivers on there peddling what was supposed to be like super fancy jewelry and shit like that. So like there's sort of like. I think they're both redneck, but there's one of them is purely redneck, and the other one is, oops, I didn't know this was redneck. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That sounds like a reality show from the aughts or something.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops, I didn't know this was redneck. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Yeah, you're right. It is weird. All that is definitely trash, but some of it is. But, you know, that's like, again, that's come up a lot on this show. There's a huge overlap of, like, trash, not knowing they're trash and even thinking that they're fancy, and you know what I mean, like commemorative plates, right? I feel like they're a perfect example of like, those are presented as though it's like, this is a high quality item, this is like bespoke shit here. Fucking a plate with a rock star's face on it or whatever, it's like, that ain't fucking worse shit. But like, that's the stuff that our people think is fancy, you know?
Dude, not for nothing. And I know that people are going to love me just bringing up something we should talk about instead of actually talking about the thing. But I was thinking that a really good episode for us, because it's in that world, would be fucking Beanie Babies. I think Beanie Babies has a lot of crossover, because like, Dude, yeah. It could not, all the trash people had them, but in their brains, they were making the most fucking David Axelrod investment. You know what I mean?
That definitely came up. And I don't remember. I didn't just cover Beanie Babies. It was either about divorces or inheritances or investment or something. It was some subject like that where I talked about how like rich people got art and shit like that, and then trash people that had Beanie Babies for a while, or like fads. Did I talk about fads? I don't know. The Beanie, but we've talked about Beanie Babies on here before for sure. But I mean, you know,
I want to do a deep dive though on Ty, like the whole company, because I feel like there's definitely a lot of interesting shit there.
Is it Ty?
Ty Beanie Babies.
I always just assumed it was TY for some reason.
No, Ty, dude's name was Ty.
No shit.
Yeah, the dude's name was Ty.
Galifianakis, I always interpreted that as TY for sure.
No,
for
Ty Beanie Babies. I probably did too when I was a kid, but his name's actually Ty. And I in the early days of Bitcoin, I was trying to do a bit, and it's just that not enough people knew about Bitcoin at the time because it was super early about how like. When I was a kid, our Bitcoin was Beanie Babies, because I don't really see that much of a difference. All it is someone putting this thing out that's never existed and telling you that it's worth something based on absolutely fucking nothing. It's just, this will be worth something, therefore buy it.
It also was like, it was kind of brilliant because it was built to exploit this thing that I feel like a lot of like mammals, old people, old Southern people and stuff have. At least in my family, like mammals on both sides, there's this thing where it's like something, if it's just old or whatever, or if there's just something about it, she'll be convinced like that'll be worth a lot of money someday. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. And it's like, I can't tell you how many times I heard my mamaw say some version of like, that'll be worth a lot of money someday.
Yeah.
And it's like something from a Happy Meal, like a toy car from a McDonald's
Every
Happy Meal, or a box full of Indian money or something, which was just like, which by the way, Indian money was actually just these little, like, I don't know what they were. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Did y'all have Indian money? No, they're little. I don't know what they are. They're like little cylindrical things that sort of look like a stack of coins.
Yeah, I remember those. But,
and in Salina, all the old people, they called that Indian money. I don't think that Indians ever actually used that as currency. And also, I don't think it had any worth whatsoever. I think it was just like some oddly shaped rocks that people kept in shoe boxes because they're fucking stupid. Yeah. But like... it was just always some shit like that. Be like, that's why it'll be worth something someday. That's an arrowhead, and it's like that's definitely not an arrowhead. Dude. You know what? Like, so Beanie Babies kind of it totally makes sense, is what I'm saying.
It
was kind of brilliant because people are like want to. I remember my other grandma had this like box or this like it was like a cookie case, a cookie box. Filled with like coins, but like not hitting coins, dude.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like Canadian nickels and shit. Yeah. But they were just different. Like, I got 45 wheat pennies in there. You know what them would be worth someday? It's like nothing.
Well, the 1912, nothing. I'm pretty sure the 1912 wheat penny actually is worth something.
Okay, well, then she didn't have 45 of those.
Yeah, right,
okay.
Right, exactly. Like,
there's got to be a reason for that.
That's
100% because of that.
Right.
She don't have one of those. Didn't have one of those.
Like there are these, like you know, like if you find like a Red Seal $5 bill from 63 or something, there's these certain ones. But like you said, the reason that they're so valuable means that no, your grandma don't have 17 of them
in a cookie box too. Like that, like the ones that actually, even if it was one of the ones that hit. If it's been kept in an old cookie box with a bunch of other not hitting coins for 25 years, that's got to bring its value way down. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. And I mean, you still got to get someone who will give you the money for it. You know, I mean, that's a thing. But like with Beanie Babies,
but they're just obsessed with all these random things. It's like this is like, it's just funny to think. It's like that was like the mammal investment strategy. Like that was like a mammal portfolio, you know, was just random shit like that. That wasn't worth a goddamn thing. That they're like, this will be worth something someday. I don't know. It's funny. Hey,
I remember that when I was a kid, like old women at our church would go to McDonald's. Like when when Star Wars was put back in theaters, which I believe was 1997 is when they re-released them.
That sounds
in the theater. And
yeah, because the prequels were coming in 99 or whatever.
Yeah. So they re-released them and it was a huge fucking deal. I mean, they had cross promotion with everybody. They had cross promotion with Pizza Hut, I remember, because I had all the glasses or whatever, which was cool. But as a kid, I wasn't thinking about it as investment. I was just like, fucking Darth Vader's on that glass. That rules, you know. But I remember they had a cross promo with McDonald's, I believe. And all these old ladies at our church were like going to McDonald's several times a day and getting Happy Meals and either eating or just throwing away the food. Not definitely not. They weren't giving it to somebody unfortunate because they're from a Southern Baptist church. You know, they were definitely just throwing it in the trash. but because they were like wanting to save the R2-D2 and stuff, like toys from the McDonald's thing, because one day that's going to be worth something. Now, again, I'm not saying that there's not a collector that wouldn't give you a little something for that. But like the mammals, they got no way of knowing this shit. You know what I mean? Some fucking asshole from McDonald's corporate leaked this to get the mammals to just come and buy these teeny tiny cheeseburgers and throw them against a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's funny, but it's like, It absolutely was not just mammals that got swept up in the Beanie Baby thing, though. You know, like, but I'm just saying,
easily took.
There's just a thing, there's just a thing there that exists. It's like people want to believe in the, I don't know, that they're on to something. You know, like this is
everybody. Everybody wants money for nothing and chicks for free too. I mean,
that too.
Not just, and I would say in our area, it's a more sad reality. It's that like, this might be the only thing, like I've tried the whole work really hard my whole life thing. You know what I mean? I've tried that. That didn't work out, and that's never going to work out. So it's just this, when you're desperate, your brain has to function at a different level where the hope or the delusion part of it spikes in these instances. And I'm not trying to make fun, like that has to be true. I mean, it's the appeal of the lottery, right? It's the appeal of the lottery when, like, you know the odds are against you, but it's like, hey, I got the same odds as this fucking guy. Well, for them, it was somebody said, if I get a Princess Diana Beanie Baby, that one day I'll be able to at least put my kid through college, and they just needed to believe it so bad.
And not to jerk myself off, but I feel like even at, like, 13 or however old I was when all that was happening, I feel like I remember the whole time in my head being like, I don't think that's gonna work. I was sitting there, I was like, because again, I think my whole thing was like, because if that was true, we wouldn't have any of these.
Yes,
like, there's no way,
dude,
the universe would allow us to have something that's gonna be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, also, you just like went and got it.
Yeah,
like you can't just go and get shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, let me say,
how was it supposed to work? Like, how were you supposed? Were they like trading cards? I can't remember. Yes. Did you buy like a pack of Beanie Babies and there might be a Princess Diana one inside of it or something?
No, I will explain it to you right now. And let me say this, because I too am on your team of I knew it was bullshit, except for I wasn't as smart of a 13-year-old as you. And that's how dumb it is that even I. Who, like, dude, you know me, I still go like try and find first editions of shit. But like, but here's the deal though. I'm never going to sell it anyways. Like, I do it for the fucking fun of it. Like, I just like to have shit. But like, even I, the whole, like at, you know, 12, 13, or I guess I was probably younger. I was definitely younger at that time because I'm 2 years younger than you, was like, okay, but how the fuck is this, because I noticed at the time how actually easy it was to go get one. Like, it wasn't even like a Michael Jordan sneaker drop where it's like we sell out and then it's all aftermarket. Like, you could, like, every single lady at my church had the Princess Diana Beanie Baby. So it's like, their worth can't be, like, even I'm stupid and I go, the only way something's worth something is if everybody can't have it and there's not that many of them. So here's how the whole thing, I think, worked in my very limited research. I do want to talk about Ty one day, but in my very limited research, it was literally just a Hail Mary sales tactic because they sold these, their original bread and butter was these big toys, right? They were bigger. They were bigger, regular stuffed toys. Their whole thing, though, was that they understuffed them because they wanted them to have, like, pliability. They wanted them to be able to, like, kind of move around and squish around, you know? And they decided, they were like, hey, we need a, something we can sell quicker and cheaper. And they were like, let's make these teeny tiny ones. And those would be Beanie Babies. Right. And also they weren't stuffing them with normal stuffing. They had, it was like a bean bag, you know, it was kind of made that noise when you crinkled it or whatever. And so they had these fucking Beanie Babies and they just weren't selling at all. And then at some trade show, one of the salespeople was like, oh, they were like, what's the deal on these? Like, why do you have so many of these left? And they're like, you know, I don't know, but people don't understand. These are limited edition. And they're just fucking lying. They weren't limited edition. They couldn't sell them at all.
It's and weird that you just said that, because I was over here Googling some Beanie Baby stuff to try to figure out, did anybody ever make any money? Like, did anybody get out in time, make some money, whatever? And I found this quote from this economist who was talking about not just Beanie Babies, but the whole thing we're talking about with, like, collectibles and shit, whatever. And his quote is, any collectibles advertised and presented as being scarce, right? But in reality, there's a huge supply of stuff coming out each and every year for people to buy. So the economics is the stuff isn't actually worth that much at all. But that's what you're saying. It's like, oh, this is a limited edition or whatever. Right. And it's like how limited could it be, you know, if it's easy enough to find or whatever, but it's all just like, it's all just bullshit and marketing, or I don't know.
It's the McRib.
Get the public to believe, to buy into something like that.
Yeah. It's the McRib. Golden. If the McRib actually hit, they would sell it every fucking day. They would. They would sell it every fucking day if it hit. But what they are geniuses. And they were just like, we will take it away from everybody just long enough for them to forget how much it don't hit. And then we'll bring it back. At a limited time, it will be word of mouth, and then everybody will come in here and get all these shits, right? But I'm certain that there are some people that did make some money on Beanie Babies because they sold to a dumbass. You know what I mean? Just like there were people, like, dude, Bitcoin ended up tanking or whatever, and it's in the shitter right now. And by the way, I had a little bit, and the only reason I even had, I put like $100 in because I had a buddy who would not shut the fuck. Dude, Bitcoin people and vegans have this in common they will not, like, you got to at least try veganism for 1 month if you want your fucking vegan friend to shut the fuck up. And Bitcoin was the same, where this guy came, and I go, you know what? Okay, here, show me how to do it on my app. I'll buy $100, you know, whatever. I actually did end up making some money on it just because it went up and I was like, okay, I'm fucking, well, that's a decent chunk of money. I'm going to sell it. But then it went way down. So, like, there were some people that, like, bought it really low, it spiked for some dumbass reason, and then they sold and got out. But, like, they're just lucky as fuck. It wasn't even actually smart. It was just that, like, that's how things work when you convince a bunch of people. Those spikes happen because you got in right before everybody else found out, and then everybody's like, oh my god, fucking Jesus.
Yeah, it's like bubble economics or fads or bubble trends or something. It's like if you get out before the bubble bursts. So, like, most of those people back then in the Beanie Baby craze, like, most of them, like, everybody's like, oh, these are skyrocketing in value and they're going up, you know, and that's only ever going to continue.
Yeah,
so, like, a couple of people actually sold their Beanie Babies when that was at, like, its peak or whatever. Yeah. And made some money, but the vast majority of people held on to them thinking, now one day it'll be worth a crazy amount, and then the bottom falls out of it, and now it ain't worth shit and never will be again.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to the vast, vast majority of people.
And, like, I understand that, like, because, dude, like, you know, there have been people that bought a stock really, like, there's people that bought Apple stock and sold, and like, let's say they bought Apple stock in 1980 something, right? And they, in 2000, Apple stock had gone up significantly a lot from 1980, whatever. And those people were like, you know what? I better get out now while the getting's good. And they got out. And if they had it today, they would be a fucking multimillionaire. Like, that's always got to be going on in your head, which is why I can't get in the fucking stock game. Because I would just be, every move I made would be like, if I did the opposite, it would hit harder.
Right. But we already said, like, when we were both, like, fucking tween dipshits, we understood that Beanie Babies were, like, a fad. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Apple had already been around for 20-something years, weren't going anywhere. I know the iPod, the iPhone, none of that shit had come out yet. They hadn't exploded into what they are today. But, like, I still think there's a difference between that and, like, an attic full of Beanie Babies, you know what I mean, in terms of, like, hanging on to it or whatever.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Well, dude, it's not only that, like, it not only when I was, you know, 10, 12 or whatever, was like, I was actually, it's funny because me and you were the only ones out of all the adults even asking the real questions. Cause I remember one of my questions was like, how can they just say that it'll be worth this much money in so-and-so year? Like, how can they just say that? Like,
right.
This just came out of nowhere. They're just saying a thing. And I'm saying this at fucking 10 and 11. Meanwhile, old people with polo wearing jobs are like, you don't know shit, kid. You don't know shit about how the economy and supply and demand works.
It was, I think I talked about collecting shit. I did an episode on collecting shit and how rich people collect like artwork and stuff and in trash. It's Beanie Babies and shit like that. That was the episode. And it was a long time ago, but I should also point out, talking about how I had all this figured out and everything back then, you know what I also had? An extensive football card collection and basketball card, you know, trading card collection.
They are up right now.
That I thought would, and you know, they're still sitting in, well, no, they're not. Oh, fuck. What'd I do with them?
You better, hey, they're up right now. Baseball cards are up right now.
I cleaned out the house I grew up in. That's where they were for years. I don't remember what I did with them.
Well, here's the deal, though. Here's the difference in my opinion.
But they sat there for 20-something years, and they would have sat there for 20-something more years.
Right.
You know what I mean? If, you know, maybe I hadn't had to go in a nursing home and we had to fuck with the house.
Maybe there are some people who still get enjoyment out of the Beanie Babies that they bought 25 years ago. Maybe there's someone who really likes having them around. But I would say the difference between the Beanie Babies and the cards is that, like, cards are something like you and your kids can go through those later and it'll be a nostalgia trip of like, oh, this guy, you know, there's stories about it. There's stats on the back. It's cool. You can look back and go, damn, I forgot about this guy. With Beanie Babies, I don't think there's any of that. It's just like, yeah, and this one's red. You know, right. This one's a cow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, baseball, like, dude, I could, if my dad called me and said, hey, you want to spend Saturday going through my 80s baseball card collection? I'd be like, fuck yes, bro. That would be fun as fuck. Whereas I just don't think that there's that intrinsic value in fucking a stuffed bear that's purple, which means Princess Diana for some reason. It was a purple diamond studded bear, which means a dead lady.
Yeah. I don't know. This is actually related to something I wanted to talk about this week, though.
Phew, now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast. I'll tell you what, I just got so hungry thinking about these Factor kits that I couldn't even talk. You're going to get fueled up with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals. My goodness. I'm going to start the fuck over.
Yeah. There you
go. Jesus Christ. Y'all, now that we're in the thick of summer and it is super hot, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Well, guess what? Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, and they can help you fuel up fast, all right, with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals. That's right. You ain't got to do nothing. Ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You're going to save time. You're going to eat well. You're going to stay on track reaching your goals. Are you too busy with summer plans to cook, but you want to make sure that you're eating well? Well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up, too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then it's back to outside to getting in the pool and trying to cool off a little bit. Also, you want to feel your best while making the most out of your summer adventure? Stick to your wellness goals with premium ready-to-eat meals featuring high-quality ingredients such as broccolini. I don't know why that's Italian to me, but it was. Leeks and asparagus. Treat yourself to 34 plus weekly restaurant quality options like bruschetta, shrimp risotto, Greek goddess chicken, and grilled steakhouse filet mignon, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. If you're too busy running around during the day to even think about lunch, keep your energy up with Lunch to Go. Effortless, wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers that are ready to eat when you're on the go, and there's no microwave required. Trey, you're a huge devotee of Factor, correct?
I have become as such, yes, and my wife has too. Factor sent us some lovely options a while back now, and my wife fell in love with it immediately, and I have followed her down that road. I literally just ate a Factor right before I came in here, and we did this. A sun-dried tomato chicken with zucchini noodles. I don't ever get no zoodles around that. This place. You know what I mean? It was pretty. Yeah, it's like... It's fancier than your average ready-made fare and tastier, too, in my opinion. I eat a Factor pretty much every single day. I'm a huge fan of it. So if you're too busy running around during the day to think about lunch, it's a huge thing with me. Like I feel like sometimes I got 15 minutes to eat lunch with all the stuff I got going on in the middle of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, you can keep your energy up with Lunch to Go, effortless, wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers, show to calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and protein plus. Prepared by chefs, approved by dietitians, each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long while still meeting your goals. And if you're looking to mix it up, you can add a protein to select vegan and veggie meals each week. Round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 plus add-ons, including breakfast items like the delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites, potato bacon and egg breakfast skillet, or for an easy wellness boost, try the refreshing beverage options like cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. My sons love the smoothies that we get from Factor, vanilla cake, brownie, all the hitness flavors. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of our delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for our production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. So this August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Here's what you do, y'all. Head to factormeals.com/POA50 and use the promo code POA50 to get 50% off. That's code POA50 at factormeals.com/POA50 to get 50% off. That's half. Can't beat it. I'm a big fan. Try it now.
Yep, it's wonderful, and dare I say,
fancy.
Looky here, y'all. I'm Trey Crowder, and me and my good buddy Corey Ryan Forrester got us a brand new book out.
It's called Round Here and Over Yonder, and it chronicles our travels round here in America and over yonder in England and Scotland.
So join us, two comedians and progressive hillbillies.
Yes, that is a thing.
As we wander about, pondering the peculiarities of places we've ventured beyond Mamaw's front porch.
From Chickamauga to Cheyenne, New York to New Orleans, there's something to roast, something to toast, and something to learn about that ties us together as humans.
Round Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide by two progressive hillbillies, is available now.
get it.
Mass hysterias.
Ooh.
Which, like, I don't know if I'd call the Beanie Baby craze a mass hysteria, because what? there was a direct rationality for that. Like, these people thought they were, you know, going to make a lot of money off of it. Mass hysterias generally are things that, like, defy explanation, but that big groups of people engage in. And I don't know that it's directly related to the theme of the show. The way it came up, though, was Katie sent me a link. She sent us both a link, and I've known about the existence of this for a long time. I even told her it may have come up on the show before, but I can't remember. But the dancing plague of 1518, and I'd heard about this before, but I, you know, read up on it again, and I felt like it was like at least POA adjacent, because it's like it's middle ages, and it's old, and it's people, you know, dancing around. But
dude, you know, we've made so many things related to this show. You know what this is? These things are the Beanie Babies of our show. They're related to this show because we fucking say that they are. We create, right. We create it, you know?
So in 1518 in modern day France, which was then part of the Holy Roman Empire, which, like, side note, are you aware that the Holy Roman Empire is not at all the same thing as the Roman Empire? And also,
no.
In fact, the Holy Roman Empire kind of really didn't even hit, you know?
No, like, I'm not aware of that. So the Holy Roman Empire is more the church than the, like, army of Rome and shit?
Totally separate thing. And, yeah, not like, I don't even think it's related at all, really. Like, the Rome had already fallen. Like, the juggernaut of the Roman Empire that we think of when we think of the Roman Empire, it had already fallen well before the Holy Roman Empire became a thing. And it wasn't really nothing all that special, I think. That's as much as I can say about it right now without looking further into it. I just know that, I mean, I always, when anytime somebody ever brought up Holy Roman Empire, I always thought that's like, oh, that's the, like,
me too.
That's when the Roman Empire was like,
so holy,
really holy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, yeah, right.
Buddy, like, me too. Holy, yeah, like, Roman Empire, Batman. Yeah, right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not at all. But wow. Anyway. In 1518, in modern-day France, then part of the Holy Roman Empire, a group of people, and of course, you know, from this time, there are multiple accounts of it, so it's generally accepted that this did happen, but accounts vary. So somewhere between 50 and 400, which is a big range, but 50 is a lot for what we're talking about here. Somewhere between 50 and 400 people randomly took to the streets and started dancing and refused to stop. Yeah, but it turned pretty dark because they refused to stop, and they kept dancing for days, and some reports say weeks, and many of them died.
Like,
they danced until they died. I mean, yeah, you're right. Somebody does die at Bonnaroo every year, but those people are on drugs, and it's real hot, and they're just hitting too hard.
People die of just not eating and drinking?
Yeah, and like dehydration or whatever. Like, you can't just dance for days. You will die if you dance for days, you know? Outside,
did
otherwise,
they also leave their friends behind?
I believe they did.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But you know, if that's what they wanted to do, you know,
that sounds like the least they could safety do that. Dance.
Yeah. All right. So, and it started with one woman, Fra Trofea,
German girl,
fervently in the street. Modern day France. I know. Modern day France, but the Holy Roman Empire, I think, was kind of a precursor to Germany. But you know how shit be in Europe. Like,
yeah, they're all on top of each other.
Yeah, right, exactly. And like changed hands so many different times and stuff. So I'm not sure, because you're right. I mean, that does sound Germany. But anyway, she took to the streets, started dancing. Soon, 36 others had joined in. And by a month later, some reports say there were 400 people dancing in the street at one time. Dancers were beginning to collapse. Some of them died. No one knew what caused this. No one knew how to stop it. And
you got to get, if you want to stop it, you got to get fucking, what's his face? Was it John Voight, or was it who played the dude in Dirty? Was it Dirty Dan? The Kevin Bacon one, Footloose.
Footloose.
Who was it? Was it John Voight?
I'm going to tell you something right now. I never watched Footloose.
Oh, me either.
Okay.
Me either. But there was a town. John Lithgow. Was it John Lithgow? I think.
Because I used to always sort of be like, I was like, was that really not gay? You know, like,
yeah.
Like when I was a kid. Not that I have a problem with actual gayness, but you know what I mean. I grew up in the '90s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like they made a movie about a boy bringing dancing to town. Hey, like,
listen,
and that hit for people. Like, I was always kind of perplexed by it.
I'm fine with being honest here. Everybody knows where I stand now, but I'll be honest and say that, yeah, when I was a kid in the early 90s, I at least had a little problem with the gay thing. Like, not like I didn't think fucking burn them all to hell, but like I was adverse to gay. Like, I was like cootie. It was a cooties thing.
I had, my uncle was gay, and I knew that from a young age. I never had a problem with gay people. But I didn't want kids at school to think that I was gay.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And I got called gay a lot for both having a gay uncle and also reading books and shit.
That's what I mean. Like, when I was, like, we didn't, like, my family, like, when the gay pride parade, like, Disney thing was going on, our church boycotted it, but my family didn't. Like, I remember my family took a stand and were like, hey, this is wrong. We're not going to do that. You know, pretty progressive for, you know, some Southern Republicans. But so I was taught, like, hey, that whatever people do is fine. But what you just said was like, I would never watch something or say that I watched something that would make my friends call me gay just because I don't want to be, you don't want to go through that shit.
Right. But so anyway, why'd you bring up Footloose? I can't remember.
Because that's how you get people to stop dancing is you bring John Lithgow in and he shuts it down, you know?
So what they actually did when they were like, this is weird, these people ain't gonna stop dancing, they brought in a bunch of physicians at the time, and you know, this is the, like, you got ghost in your blood era of medicine.
Yeah.
Right. So these physicians say, apparently they tell them that they were like, they prescribed that the afflicted should, quote, dance themselves free of it. There's like,
fire.
They'll get it out, you know. Just let them dance it out. Like, you ain't never had to dance it. Like, how long can anybody dance, really? You know, like, just
like if you were, that's like if you were gay as a kid and your dad came in and goes, all right, I want you to suck all 100 of these dicks in front of me right now. Just like you would cigarettes, you know?
It is like that, because after the physician said that, they then, like, the people are in the town, they like were like, oh, okay, well, they got to dance so they can't dance no more. Doctor says, you know, doctor's orders, right? And so then they brought in like musicians and shit to like, they like tried to make it a party or like friendlier to dancing. They're like, well, if they got to dance until they can't dance no more,
we should
encourage the dancing. So they like built stages and brought in bands, musicians, all this stuff. And none of it worked. People like kept collapsing and dying and shit. And then according to the best reports there are, and this is very unsatisfying to me, but like they then at some point they made them dance up to a shrine, shrine of Saint Vitus, right? Yeah. And they performed a ritualistic ceremony at the shrine where they sprinkled them all with holy water and painted crosses and shit on their foreheads and shoes and whatnot.
I don't like that.
All while these people are dancing, they gave them crosses to hold. They burned incense, fucking read off Latin incantations, probably with their eyes rolled back in their head and all this, all this wild God stuff, right? And
I didn't know
the ritual was deemed a success and the dancing plague came to an end. So, and you know why I don't like that, because it's like the Lord cured it, but they, you know, that's what the reports say. They went to did a ritual at a shrine, and that ended it. So today people are like, okay, well, what the fuck was going on here?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. It's like, why did they dance?
Yeah, and they, I mean, we still don't know. There's one theory that
protest.
It was what do what?
Protest. That's the only thing I can think of.
Now they there's this type of fungus called ergo. ergot, ergot. Okay. I think it's ergo though. Ergo.
Yeah, ergo. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it can grow on grains that are used for baking bread, and ergo is structurally related to the same shit that's in LSD.
Oh, okay? Wow.
And so there's an argument that these people got a bunch of acid in their bread without meaning to in this area, and then just was tripping balls for like months and couldn't stop dancing or whatever.
Can you imagine?
I like that idea. Like that, like I read that and I was like, oh, I like that. That hits for me. But like, that's not at all the consensus. A lot of people are like, there's no fucking way that's actually what happened.
Well, but anyway, here's the beautiful thing about the past is that you can just decide that's what happened. You know what I mean?
True.
But, what I was going to say, well, two things that I wanted to say actually was that number one, imagine living in the Middle Ages and then all of a sudden, for absolutely no reason, things start really hitting for you for a month. And then they send you to the Lord for it. Like, cause that didn't seem like a good time to be alive. Like every day had to be fucking horrible, you know, like
for sure.
It's the medieval times or whatever.
But the thing is, I hear you, but if you read some of these accounts and stuff, it makes it sound like they weren't out there like hippie dancing and like fucking all, you know, free and loose. They were dancing, but like, they were also like,
scared.
Dear God, someone save us. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Acid.
Yeah.
Like they were right. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that doesn't disprove the acid part at all, but yeah, it's like they were compelled to dance, but it wasn't hitting for them. They weren't just like, we can dance if we want to, you know, like they weren't doing that fucking. Yeah.
Do you know also
maniacs? Like it wasn't like that. I know I've told you this before, but that song, Maniac, she's a maniac on it. But that originally, the dude originally wrote that with the lines, he's a maniac at your door.
Mm-hmm.
He'll murder you and nail your cat to the floor and all this shit. Yeah, right. Yes, I swear to God. That may be a little odd, but it's not that far off. He originally wrote that song, same tune, same cadence, same melody.
Hits harder.
But about a serial killer is what it was about, right? And then some producer or whatever was like, what if maybe instead of all that, it was about dancing, right?
Right.
And, you know, fucking Richard Lewis and Men in Tights. It's a good change. It's a good change. Because obviously, huge hit.
Crazy that, like, that's one of the most, like, recognizable 80s club dance songs of all time. Right. And that, like, to think that that's not even a little bit what the original intent was is fucking crazy to me. It also goes to show you, like, how much a melody, like, I don't know, man. Like, the fact that they were just like, hey, listen, that's creative. That's great. A little Warren Zevon, you know, and this is the 80s. But, like, if you just change the lyrics, this is actually going to be a bop. And it was.
Yeah, right. I know. It is wild. What also is wild to me, at least, having not been there at the time, or I was there in little bitty baby form, I didn't know what that dude looks like. Do you know what that dude looks like?
I assume he's bull. Okay, I'm about to get shit on for this. I'm sorry, but you asked the question. I'm going to say he's black with a jerry curl.
Not at all. So I've sent you this before, but I know you wouldn't remember. Please don't take that any kind of bad way. It's been a long time. I should have left you without a dope beat to step to, but I had sent you this.
I know you, long, that you did. I was just playing.
God damn it.
Did you really? No, I remember.
It's hard for me to believe.
I remember that we'd talked about this, but I don't remember how it went, if that makes any sense.
I sent this to you and Mark and Drew, and I remember being surprised that Mark actually watched the video. So
I remember this happening, but I don't remember seeing it, if that makes sense. Like, I remember this being an occurrence, but I don't remember anything else.
I'm not going to actually play the music because that'll get us like copyright stricken or whatever. Yeah. But you can see my thing, right?
Yeah, I can see your thing and I love it.
Yeah. So this video is wild. Y'all should YouTube the live performance of this song Maniac by Michael Cimbello.
Because
there is a lot going on. Look at that. That's like David Cross, dude. That looks like David Cross from Arrested Development in a fucking, like, what are those called? A Kangol hat.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Making love eyes to the camera. And then here's the main dude. Look at him, dude. He looks like a lumberjack barista or something. He's all...
You know who he looks like? A wrestling booker in the 80s Mid-South territories.
He's got hairy-ass arms that he's showing off. Like, he's in a tank top with, hairy shot. He looks like a wolf, man.
You know what's fucking funny, Trey? If you go back to the original thread when you were talking about this.
The man on the guitar. Look at this.
I guarantee you, when you posed the question, what do you think that guy looks like? I said, I guarantee it. Is it a black dude with a Jerry curl? And then I was floored when I saw this.
Right. That is the drummer. It's all.
Dude, it's just everything in this video is amazingly 80s to me. It's like there's just a lot to unpack in this video. But for the sake of the people that are only listening to us, I'm going to.
The 80s, man, it's never been like, you know, when you. Like certain decades, it's so clear. It couldn't be more clear what drug was the most popular at the time. And that's like when you when you go back and listen, like 60s, it was no drugs. Everything was super square. You know what I mean? Maybe some weed.
What?
No. Like or 50s, then 60s. Okay. 60s, the weed comes, and 70s, the weed and the acid kind of mix each other. So I'm
I think the 60s was when the hippies were really popping off with acid. And that's when like Woodstock was and all that shit.
I meant 50s. 50s was like square, kind of like maybe some booze, whatever.
60s were on speed.
Yeah, 60s. And by the way, Woodstock was 69, which means that acid.
Yeah, it was like the late 60s. Free love, drugs. So,
the 70s was very weed and acid heavy, a lot of weed. 80s could not be more evident that everyone was yacked out on cocaine. And then the 90s, everyone's on heroin and fucking killing themselves. And then fucking the 2000s.
Four Loko.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
Energy drinks and fucking vodka or whatever. Yes. Tucker and Max novels. Yeah.
And then because everything is sort of cyclical, like I've always said, like when we were kids in the 90s, the 70s kind of came back for a minute. And the reason, in my opinion, I don't know the actual rulings on this, but in my opinion, it's because the people that lived through the 70s were in charge of shit during the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so,
no, like, that's not a theory, dude. That's 100% what it is. Yeah.
So, in the 2010s, if you notice, things got a little bit more neon and coked out again. And that's because the fuckers from the 80s were the ones making the stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, we just kind of keep repeating the process, but it's all like, but I don't think that cyclical nature started until the, like, because you don't look at the 60s and go, oh, this is the 40s. But you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like we turned on as a society in the 60s and was like, all right, now things are going to be this every 20 years on a rotation. It's just going to be a little different because instead of being pure this, it's going to be inspired by this, but with a little new flavor. Am I making sense right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think you're onto something there. But the... Why did I start talking about Michael Cimbello and Maniac? They were not dancing in a she's a maniac type way. They were dancing in a like, I think the devil is sucking my soul to hell kind of way. And I, you know, am desperate to be relieved of this this newfound hell, seemingly to me. It seems as it was reported. But anyway, some people say, oh, man, it's this ergo, this shit that grows on their bread, making them trip balls and not in a good way. But a lot of people are like, nah, that can't be it. And so the most like widely accepted theory, which this I find this very unsatisfying, but just that it was an incident of mass hysteria or like stress-induced psychosis. Right.
Why wouldn't you be stressed back then?
Well, I mean, you already said, you're talking about how much it didn't hit to be alive back then. I mean, yeah, the region where these people were dancing was riddled with starvation and disease. And I don't know why they even say the region. They should have just said the whole world during the time they were alive.
It was called the medieval or middle ages. Like, middle meaning we're in the middle of something that don't hit.
Right. And so, you know, if people just like snapped or whatever, which I still just find that so fascinating and odd, but it happens. Like, there's other examples of it, and they're known as mass hysterias. Another one in the Middle Ages, there was a group of nuns in a convent, and again,
this could be stress-induced psychosis too, because back then, like, a lot of girls were just forced into convents. Like, right. You know, they're like, ain't nobody going to marry you. You suck too many dicks. Now you're a nun or whatever.
Now you can't finger yourself, you bitch.
Yeah, yeah. So fucking get out of my face. You're never welcome here again. You know, go suck the Lord's dick, I guess. Like, that used to happen all the time. And, you know, that didn't hit. Life as a nun didn't hit. That's like, no life hit back then. But
no,
like,
none. But, and then you pick the worst one. Like, the only way, right. Like, everyone's life didn't hit, but there's at least a group of people that's like, at least I can sin. You know what I mean? Fucking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nuns, like, the life of a nun back then demanded celibacy, poverty, and hard manual labor, right? So don't hit. So anyway, there's a case also in present day France, a nun in a large French convent there stopped talking and started meowing like a cat one day.
Mm-hmm.
Soon others joined in, and eventually every single nun in this convent was meowing like a cat. They would meow together for several hours at the same time. They would, you know, be fucking caterwauling and all this shit.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, do some caterwauling for me.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You know how cats be.
They're great.
And if, you know how they fix that? So they were just meowing and wouldn't talk, and like meowing so loud people nearby can hear it. It's like, what the fuck is up with all these nuns? And they finally fixed that. You know how they fixed that?
The same way they do with normal cats. They tied their tubes.
It's the same way they did with unruly women in the Middle Ages. They sent a bunch of soldiers in there to beat the shit out of them until they stopped.
By the way, what I just said was not unwarranted. Used to, doctors masturbated. They tried to masturbate hysteria out of women. I wasn't.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Like,
we've talked about that on here before too. Okay. Yes, it was one of two things: either that, or you know, cane them. And in this case, they chose to cane them. Next door in Germany, also in the 15th century, a bunch of nuns in a different convent started biting each other and that's wouldn't stop. They eventually bit themselves out. The reports say that they eventually stopped biting due to exhaustion.
Can I say something? This is what happens when you don't get dick down like yours. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if the same thing, I guarantee you, like, a lot of priests or whatever at the time was, well, actually, we know what the fuck they was doing. And I would say that a lot of it comes from you're not allowed to get or give pussy, you know?
Right.
That ain't how humans are supposed to be. Like, that insane urge that you have to fuck, God did not put that there to punish you. God damn it. You're supposed to get it out of your system so you don't fucking lose your mind.
There was a school in a boarding school in Africa, Tanzania, in the 1960s. I don't know if they were all colonialized at that point in time, but probably. But I don't know.
It's the 60s.
But anyway, there was a boarding school there in Tanzania in 1962. Is a girls' boarding school, and just sort of like the woman that started dancing, this girl started laughing, and before long, every single student in the school was laughing uncontrollably and couldn't do anything else but laughing. Again, reports say laughing completely absent any humor or merriment. So no happiness, just like an odd, cold, incessant laughing that they were all doing. They wouldn't stop. It went on for weeks. They shut the school down for a while. After a couple of months, they're like, well, surely that shit will be over now. They start school back up, and it just immediately kicks back up again. The laughing epidemic spread to other schools and lasted somewhere between 6 and 18 months. And everybody, you know, the only explanation anybody has, excessive stress.
Or it could have been that's when Richard Pryor was in Africa. You know,
yeah, there you go. It wouldn't almost match up.
That's
a lot of these are like cases of mass paranoia, is what I would call them, where it's like people.
Laughter is not just something that happens when you're in a good mood. Like, there is, like, you know, there's a science behind some laughs. Laughs come from a sense of fear sometimes. Like, when you're being tickled or whatever, it's actually like a fear or something like that. It's like this release of, oh, I'm getting touched. And like probably the first laugh was some caveman almost got eaten by a pterodactyl and it barely missed him. And everyone laughed in relief where it's like nothing was funny.
Yes.
That was a relief of tension was.
Yeah, that's. I've heard that theory before about that being the first ever human laugh, but I've always preferred the fart theory. But no, when I say mass paranoia, I'm talking about some other examples I haven't even given yet of times when like people, it was considered an incident of mass hysteria, but it specifically takes the form of like a paranoid delusion. So like there was one of the Halifax slasher in Halifax, England in 1938, residents were being terrorized by a man racing around in the dark at night, slashing women with a razor, right? It was an epidemic of these attacks happening, and everybody, the community was gripped with fear over the Halifax slasher. It eventually came to light that there never had been a Halifax slasher at all.
Really?
That none of that had ever happened. As the investigators questioned the victims, their stories collapsed. Suddenly everyone began confessing they had actually cut or injured themselves, right? Either on accident or otherwise. There was 12 victims, 9 of which ultimately confessed that they had done it themselves.
Really?
And
just to feel a part of something?
I don't know. Who knows? Then there's another one, and I knew this one had happened. You know the satanic panic in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the 80s, the satanic panic in the 80s.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah, fucking Lemmy was getting crucified by the Christian right, you know, for putting devil shit in his lyrics and stuff.
Part of that satanic panic, a specific part that I didn't remember, which really pisses me off, is a lot of these parents and this was in Los Angeles, by the way, not fucking Alabama or somewhere.
Right. It was everywhere, dude.
It was all around the country, but this specific case was in Los Angeles. A group of parents became convinced that the people who ran the daycare they used, right, which was a mother and her son, an old woman, an old mamma named Peggy, and her son ran this daycare. This group of parents became convinced that and eventually led to the teachers and the people that ran the school getting charged with 208 counts of child molestation, right? Mm. They became convinced that the people at the daycare were, diddling their kids or whatever. And what's truly wild is that when they interviewed, these are preschool age children, right? And they were interviewed by child psychologists or whatever. And they gave firsthand accounts of being like, participating in satanic rituals and drinking blood and seeing a baby being sacrificed to the devil, right? Like 4-year-olds are telling these stories, right? But it turned out none of that ever happened. None of it.
Is this like their parents just telling these fucking stories? Because by the way, if we're talking about in California, these are the parents who were children during the Manson murders. You know what I mean? So they were like, they probably had some scar tissue from living through that in California. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I don't know a lot. I'm saying a lot of these don't have satisfying answers as to so how the fuck did that happen? But yeah, sorry. Their parents got wrapped up in it, talked to their kids, convinced them I don't know. They're playing along and who knows? I don't know. That's the thing with all these. They're
insane.
Mass hysteria. It's wild. I have one personal firsthand account with what I would call a very minor case of mass hysteria. It don't touch any of the rest of these, but I've always thought it was wild. And I've told you this story before.
That don't mean
it's been a long time. And you may not remember it. And also, I don't think I've ever told it. I know I've never told it on this show. Maybe well read years ago. But my only firsthand experience with any sort of mass hysteria at all came at a comedy show at Side Splitters Comedy Club years ago when I was hosting one weekend. So this is 2011 or 12 or something like that. And I don't see why he would mind me saying his name. Great dude, funny guy. Michael Palisak was the headliner.
Palisak's awesome, man.
Comedian this weekend. And didn't happen to me. It happened to him, but I was there for it. He was on stage, and it's Friday late night, every comic knows the fucking...
The worst.
Harbinger of death, the worst show of the weekend, Friday late night. And it was
I think it was Friday late night. Might have been Saturday. Either way, it's a late night show. Late night crowd. It's about half full in there. They're fucking hammered.
Now there is a difference between late Friday and late Saturday.
I just can't remember which one of the two this was. It feels like a late Friday thing, but I actually kind of think it was a late Saturday show, but I'm not sure. Huh?
I said, yeah, no, I mean, but both can get out of hand drunk for sure. One's just more depressing than the other.
Right. So they're hammered, room's about half full. Palisak's doing okay. He makes some joke. They laugh. And then at the end of the laugh, you hear this one dude in the crowd go, everybody's like laughing, ha ha ha. And then at the very end, you hear this guy go, yarr, right? And you could hear him and everybody could hear him. And so Palisak acknowledges it. And he's like, did you just yarr like a pirate? And the guy was like, yarr, right? And Palisak starts like riffing on him. And he's like, oh, a little too much Captain Morgan, huh? Fucking whatever, like making, where's your parrot, bud? Making pirate jokes or whatever, which you're doing okay. People are laughing at it. And then he tries to just move on. And it was like, I'm watching it and I'm like, that was very well handled on his part. Like he acknowledged it in a very funny way that hit for people and now he's moving on, right? But so he moves on. He tries to move on, get back in his material. And at the next punchline, that dude yars again. But now like two or three other people yar too. He's like, what? He's like, you guys still yarn? He's like, okay, all right, pirate, that's funny, but it's whatever. He keeps going. Anyway, within like 3 or 4 minutes, the whole crowd, every single person in there,
oh my God,
is yarring like pirates at his punchlines, right? Like, not the whole time. Like, they're not just doing it incessantly, they're doing it with the rhythm of a stand up crowd where, like, where the laughs should be, these people are yarring like pirates, right? And I was just sitting back there in the back like, dude, what the fuck is this? Like, never seen anything like that. Literally every single person in there. They all were yarring. And it's like, it was wild, dude. And he was he was close to the end of his set. And he wrapped up like 10 minutes early or something and walked back there. And he was like, dude, what the fuck was that? I was like, buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
It's hard enough to get a crowd on rhythm just laughing, like to have a crowd on rhythm. Everyone's, you know, and you get those nights where like everyone is paying attention. No one's on their phone. It's a great crowd and everyone's laughing at the right time. But to have that fucking crowd like all go, we know something y'all don't know. We're yarring. That's crazy.
I know.
And depressing. I would hate to, I feel so bad in hindsight for Michael Palisak.
No, that's the thing. Like, just for if anybody's unclear, like, it did not hit. Like, if you're like, it didn't hit for him, it didn't hit for me. Again, I thought it was wild, but I was sitting back there the whole time, like, God, poor bastard. You know, it wasn't like cool or funny. It was off putting and strange, is what it was.
Everyone in the crowd decided we're the show now.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to yar like that. I've never had anything even remotely close to that happen.
No, because usually even if you got a couple of assholes in a crowd or whatever, it's like it divides the audience or like the whole crowd hates you or whatever that happens. But they're like, you know, they just sit there in silence or, you know, boo, get the fuck off the stage, you know, whatever. Sure. You'll have that.
Yeah.
But this was something else.
I wonder if like those, I mean, surely, dude, if we're talking about it, those people from that crowd all these years later have to still tell their friends about the night that everyone yarred.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Not remember it?
They definitely, a lot of them were drunk, but it's hard to believe they were all that hammered drunk. And it's like, so maybe just the hammered drunk ones were like, oh, we're all pirates now. This is fun. And the other ones were all like, I guess we're pirates. I don't know. But like, yeah, it was.
Peer pressure is crazy. Peer pressure is crazy.
It do be crazy.
Hey, by the way, speaking of theories on like how things happen, this goes back to your ergo thing. Did you know that that's similar? That's the leading theory on the burning bush in the Bible.
I heard a version was like, oh, we now know that like magic mushrooms grew around that area. Mount Sinai or whatever.
Oh, look at you. You knew Mount Sinai.
Tripping balls. Yeah.
Yeah, that hits for me.
That does hit for me, and I like to buy that. It's like, hey, Moses was out there. He was hungry. You know, Jew got to eat, and he just start tripping. He was like, God damn, that bush is God, because we've all been there.
Yeah, sure. So I've run my mouth this whole time. We got about 10 minutes left. I got to go get my kids from school. So what do you want to do?
Well, I did want to tell you, because I think this kind of relates to the show in a way, because I think that we've talked about it before, the Venn diagram of fancy people, British people, and rednecks having bad teeth. I went to the reason that I didn't have anything prepared today is because I went to the dentist and I had a cleaning, and it was at 11 o'clock, right? My appointment was supposed to start at 11 o'clock. I really assumed, I was like, I mean, dude, if they start at 11, which they did, by the way, I was like, I'll be out of there by 11:30. It's a fucking cleaning. Dude, it took these motherfuckers 2.5 hours to clean my fucking teeth. And they didn't even hide. Like, they weren't even like trying to not out loud talk about how much my teeth didn't hit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and what the ladies, what,
that literally was the reason it took so long, is because they were like, we got to get a second crew in here. Fucking call in the night shift people. Fucking, all hands on deck. Yeah, yeah, right.
Dude. Yeah, dude. So, and one of the lady that's cleaning my teeth, I've known her my entire life. Her nephew's one of my best friends, and she's the sweetest lady in the world. So, like, she knows me. And even her, who's always tried to be sweet to me, was just like, phew, I'll tell you what, this is about the worst. Literally, it's about the worst I've ever seen. You know, and I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, and so she's asking me now, and she's like, when's the last time since your last cleaning? I said, well, the last time I was at the dentist was 10 years ago. And it was because I had to have an emergency abscess. And she was like, why did you not go? And I told her, I was like, I ain't had insurance. Like I spent most of my adult life until I married my wife sans insurance. And also sans money. So going to the dentist was not like a thing I was going to do. And before that, it had been 10 years since I'd gone, because my dentist died. And I was like, well, I guess I ain't got a dentist anymore. So I've been to the dentist twice in 20 years. And they're sitting there just like, yeah, it definitely fucking looks like it. And so she's doing all this stuff and she's cleaning. And I'm like, if she'd been going for a very, very long time. And I was like, so how much? No, it doesn't matter, but I do have a podcast later. How much longer is it going to be? She's like, oh, I've been working on one tooth. She's like, I've been working on one tooth. She's like, there is so much shit here. And I was like, okay. So a couple hours later, the doctor comes in, and I've never met him in my life. Now, he's my wife's dentist, but I know her. I've never met him. And I'm thinking, okay, she was being frank with me because she knows me and she knows she can be that way. Well, she took a bunch of x-rays and stuff. So he comes in, he's like, hey, how you doing, doctor? I won't say his name. Doctor, good to meet you. And he goes, let me see these x-rays. And so she hands him the x-rays. And I swear to God, this dude goes, Jesus Christ. He goes, Jesus Christ. And I was like, what? He goes, I mean... And he starts saying dentist terms. He's like, your T3 here has got a MOD and a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds like it don't hit. And he's like, well, I don't know what don't hit means, but if it means bad, it don't hit.
Yeah,
and I'm
right.
like, okay, whatever. So how many cavities do you think I had? First off,
14.
No, 7. You went way over. I had 7. I had 7 cavities. And he's like, we're going to get all these fixed. And he goes, obviously, this was just a clean, and we need to schedule you back to have these cavities fixed. And I was like, okay, so when do I need to come back in? And he's like, well, it's going to be 3 separate appointments.
Yeah.
You can come back in 3 fucking times. He goes, because one of the appointments is just going to be on that tooth right the fuck there. Like, that's going to be a whole day just working on that tooth. And what's crazy, though, about how genetics work, because I was like, He goes, you need to start brushing your teeth. And I go, doc, I'm not kidding, I literally brush my teeth 3 times a day. He goes, well, you got to floss. I go, I literally floss every day. We have floss. I do all this stuff. And he's like, well, goddamn, I don't know what to tell you, but like, your teeth just about beat all I've ever seen, you know? So that, by the way, people in the Skewniverse, airheads, that's why I don't have anything prepared this week, because a cleaning that should have taken 30 minutes took about 3 goddamn hours.
Bro, I don't know how you just had to sit there with your mouth open for like literally 3 hours with no, they gave you nothing.
I couldn't get them.
They give you no laughing gas or nothing.
I couldn't have them give me that because I had to go pick. I had to drive myself out of there and go pick up my son. Like, they offered it to me, but I was like, wait, if you give me this, I can't drive, right? And they're like, no, you'd have to have somebody take you. And I was like, I can't do that. My wife is in school and my kid is at my sister-in-law's and I got to go get him.
So regular human beings may not realize that when you don't have a teeth cleaning for a very, very, very long time, a teeth cleaning like hurts. It's uncomfortable. But I've never sat there through one for literally 3 hours. I mean, that's like, that's hardcore and torturous is.
It was painful, man. And being honest with you, I think it's like you get a new kind of strength when you're a dad, you know, like you can just like put up with a little bit more. Cause like old me was a pussy, but like the fact that I was like, I could get drugs, but then I would be putting my child at risk when I went to pick him up. I was like, I just got to fucking deal with it. But anyways, yeah, I've got like confirmed. I'm sure that everybody assumed it, but I have some of the most trash teeth. By the way, crypto's up. I just got a notification up 5%. Fucking A. I have some of the most trash teeth in the world. Would you like me to get some air mail? I know we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yes, please.
Okay, this is from Stuart. Subject line, backstabbing. Hey, Air Folks, you always have the Venn diagram of classy and red. How about backstabbing? Been subject to that recently and would love to hear how I'm not just trash, but the upper crust works this way as well. I know the whole royal thing, but maybe you could do a deeper dive. Love y'all. What do you think about that, Trey?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I agree.
It's another one of those, it's like, that's definitely just a human nature thing, but as you've always pointed out, it's like it doesn't have to be something exclusive to the two groups. We could just talk about how the two groups engage in it. Yeah, right.
Instead of looking at it as what you're saying, it's just like, just take a subject and go, how does the trash react to this versus how does the fancy react to it? Yeah. Right. Second one, subject line, what's up, motherfuckers? Hey, y'all, I discovered your podcast from the dollop. I listened to the first episode of POA and then proceeded to binge listen until I caught up. Fucking hey, man, you've really done some listening. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm a truck driver, so I have lots of time to listen. Hell yeah. I was super bummed when I caught up and now have to wait until Friday to hear the latest episode. I am the definition of Florida trash. I party at Mike Busey's Sausage Cattle. If you've never heard of it, look it up. Pretty much a raunchy Playboy mansion. I hang out with Florida's craziest redneck stuntman, do plenty of stupid shit like partake in Roman candle wars naked. I have a new car, but I still find myself driving my 2000 Mustang missing a window with no AC. Out nights like it's something special. Just wanted to take a minute to let y'all know how much POA hits. Also, fuck squirrels, whether they have the ability to love or not. Your friend Spence, feel free to use my name if you read this shit on the podcast. Spence, you roll.
Spence does indeed rule. I agree. We don't have time to get into it right now, but I've already looked up the Sausage Castle in Florida, and I put a link in our doc.
Okay, good.
But we're going to have to revisit that next week because it definitely looks like it's worth talking about.
And we have got time for one more, and I know that there's a lot of you who are like, you've never read my message, and you're going to read a repeat sender. I always have to read ones that are critical of me because I feel hypocritical if I don't.
Hypocritical, yes.
Hypocritical. It's both. Subject line, for fuck's sake, Corey, / Barbie shit.
Hey, ooh, boys, okay.
Hey, boys, it's your friendly Mexican correspondent, Lady S, here to shit on Corey a little bit. I love you, Corey. It makes me smile to hear how you talk about fatherhood. It really is nice to see you settle into and honestly thrive as a parent. So back to you being dumb. please, for the love of God, just listen to the podcast, The Barbie Tapes from LA, made on NPR. They are hour-long episodes, so you can blow through them quickly while you go on your daily jog. You get so many things pretty close, but so many things wrong. I wasn't going to say anything, but holy hell, it's been three glorious weeks of you almost being right about the most famous doll in human history, and it's driving me fucking mad. Ruth Handler was not perfect, but she didn't specifically try to fuck over the stockholders. She herself was the largest stockholder, so any improprieties with the accounts would have affected her the most. Her finance team told her next quarter's sales will pick up, so here are the projections, and just list those as the profits. That way, the stocks won't tank after a small hiccup. She listened to them like a dumbass, which I assume she meant like you, Corey. And when sales didn't recover, they anticipated she got caught cooking the books. They had a few flops, and they had expanded the company into several other toy lines and ventures that needed time to take off. Unlike Barbie, that had been an instant hit. Because let's be honest, baby dolls are boring to play with ad infinitum. Girls like variety too, and Ruth understood that. There's a lot more here, and we don't have time to get into it, but I have to.
I think we get the central thesis that you don't hit, and you spent 3 weeks not hitting.
All the best from your Mexican harpy, Lady S. But I would like to say this. To me, and I told y'all in the first episode, all of my info came from the episode The Toys That Made Us, and I wrote it down verbatim as I heard it. So, like, I'm fine with being wrong. But Lady S, I think you're also have to take issue with that show on Netflix, because I'll go back and watch it.
There's no way that's 100% true, Corey, just because you spent more hours than exist in that episode of that show talking about Barbie. So, like, you had to add some shit to it.
That makes sense, Trey. The song Free Bird is 4 minutes and 58 seconds long, but if me and you were to talk about it, it would take us longer than that.
I know, but I'm just saying, I don't know, it just felt to me like there was a lot more information we covered than what could be in one episode of a show. It seemed to me like
I go off the cuff every now and then, for sure, but I'm just saying, like, I bring up one fact that took 30 seconds for them to tell me in the episode, and then me and you discuss our theories and shit. Now, if I was wrong on a theory, well, then fuck me, right? But at least
you need some secondary and tertiary sources, Corey. You need to cross-check your references.
I couldn't agree more. You know? I'm not ever going to do that, but I could not agree more that I need to do that.
One thing and be like, this is the thing, and then I'm going to do my whole thing based on this. You know,
well, I agree with you. And sometimes, most of the time, I had no fucking idea this was going to be three episodes. I really didn't. I really didn't. Most time, I read a book. I listen to several podcasts. We do have to go, though. Trey has to go pick up his children.
I have to go pick my children up.
You can pre-order our book right now, round here and over yonder. You can do it at treycrowder.com. You can also do it at coreyryanforrester.com. But by going to treycrowder.com, you can also find dates. Trey, where the fuck are you going to be?
I'll be in Austin, Texas at Vulcan on September 15th and 16th in a five-night, five-city run through Ohio right after that. And then a bunch of other places coming up shortly. So, come see me, treycrowder.com. Pre-order the book. Fits.
Yeah, please go to CoreyRyanForster.com, because on there you can find my Substack, and I'm doing bonus stuff there. It's $5 a month. It's super worth it, though, especially just for on Sundays. Every Sunday, I do a Sunday sermon. It's a Sunday sermon with Pastor Petey Perkins. Pastor Petey Perkins lays down the good word for you every Sunday. And then on Tuesday, we have Tuesdays with Corey, which, of course, is a story. Next week it'll be a detective that was in the Civil War that now has a pet possum, and he solves crimes in his small town. So CoreyRyanForster.com. Go see Trey on the road, and above all, please stay
fancy,
motherfuckers.
Here's Lady Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong.
place where if you call someone a cunt, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.
MLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.